Listening to the presidential candidates on both sides, you might think the only issue facing the voters this year is who can be the most effective change agent. Our linguist Jeff Nunberg has been tracking that odd term and has these thoughts about what it says, or doesn't say, about the current state of politics.
The most incisive summary I've seen of the current electoral rhetoric was an editorial cartoon by Matt Davies that appeared in last week's LA Times. A man is walking his dog past a lawn bristling with signs that read Huckabee for change, Edwards for change, Romney says change in 08, and so forth, as he thinks to himself, same old, same old. Well, yes and no. It doesn't take a lot of political savvy to trot out the C word when the current administration is unpopular, the economy's in free fall, and three-quarters of the electorate say that the country's on the wrong track. Change has always been the obvious card for non-incumbents to play, whichever direction they had in mind to go. When he first ran for president in 1992, Bill Clinton described himself as the change we need. Jimmy Carter billed himself in 1976 as a leader for a change. And in 1952, after 20 years of Democratic rule, the Republicans campaigned for Eisenhower under the official slogan, It's Time for a Change, though the terser, I Like Ike, proved handier for jingles and campaign buttons. But the language of change isn't quite the same now. In 1952, Eisenhower would never have thought to describe himself as a change agent, which to most people would have conjured up nothing more than a guy passing out coins at a booth in the subway. Back then, change agent was still an obscure bit of social science jargon for an innovator, or what people now call an early adapter, the first villager to buy a bicycle, the first doctor to try a new procedure. By the 1980s, it was showing up in corporate jargon with a somewhat grander meaning, as the trait that separates the managerial mice from men. Or at least that's how the story is told by the motivational writer Spencer Johnson in his best-selling Who Moved My Cheese? The work is a 94-page fable set in a maze inhabited by two mice and by two little humans named Hem and Haw, who discover one day that their daily ration of cheese is not in its customary place. They whine and curse their fate until Haw realizes that they have to overcome their debilitating fear of change and boldly resolve to seek out new cheese elsewhere. Who Moved My Cheese has been a huge success with managers, who don't seem troubled by the analogy of workers to creatures hunting for cheese in a maze. Since its publication in 1998, it has sold more than 5 million copies, including carloads that were shipped to companies like Southwest Airlines and General Motors for distribution to employees. Of course, employees may be a little uneasy when copies of the book start to show up in their mailboxes, since they know that the change they're being encouraged to embrace will likely come not in the abstract, but as a plural noun, as in, we're going to be making some changes around here. That's not a sentence most people are happy to hear these days, particularly if they happen to be working for an airline or an automobile company. Still, the label change agent has the heroic ring of other new corporate job descriptions like champion, road warrior, and thought leader. In an age that's turned CEOs into media icons, it suggests that business success is a validation of personal charisma and not simply competence. And modern managers are naturally gratified by the suggestion that the challenge of constant change is more urgent and daunting for them than it was in the leisurely day when Alfred P. Sloan was running General Motors and FDR was running the country. It was inevitable that the term would show up in politics, particularly as both Republicans and Democrats took to talking about government in the language of business, so that every education or public health initiative had to be justified as an investment in human capital. In fact, it isn't surprising that the new Democrat, Bill Clinton, would become the first national politician to describe himself as a change agent when he launched his run for the presidency in 1991, at another moment of voter discontent with the economy and the government. In the present campaign, nearly every candidate has claimed the change agent label. And last week, Bill Clinton upped the ante when he described Hillary Clinton as a world-class change agent. It's a good bet that 50 years from now, that phrase will be as evocative of the Clinton era as 23 Skidoo is of the age of Warren Harding. Of course, any label as accommodating as change agent is going to be wholly empty of substantive meaning. It's a statement about your personality, not your plans or programs. And the qualifications for the label are infinitely elastic. You're a person who can make things change because you've been around or because you're a fresh face. Because you know Washington, or because you're an outsider, because you're tough, or because you're flexible. When I hear somebody described as a change agent, I can't help recalling the older meaning of the term. As New Yorkers used to say, that and a nickel will get you on the subway.
Jeff Nunberg is a linguist with the School of Information at the University of California at Berkeley. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our senior producer is Roberta Sherrock. Our engineer is Bob Purdick. Dorothy Farabee is our administrative assistant. Sue Spolin directed the show. I'm Terry Gross. We'll close with a classic Frank Sinatra recording, Nice and Easy. The lyric is by Alan Bergman. The music was written by Lou Spence. Spence died last week at the age of 87.
Let's take it nice and easy. It's gonna be so easy for us to fall in love. Hey, baby, what's your hurry? Relax and don't you worry. We're gonna fall in love. We're on the road to romance, that's safe to say. But let's make all the stops along the way. The problem now, of course, is to simply hold your horses. To rush would be a crime.